Hello and welcome to Cool Sheets,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
You'll hear all about 10 things that we are currently enjoying in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
Don't forget to get all of our show notes on our website, coolsheets.cool.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Let's dive into our Cool Sheets.
Hello, everyone. I'm Karen Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And this is Cool Sheets.
Yes, it is.
I get to go first.
Yes, so you do.
I'm going to go for it. My first Cool Sheet. This is an educational video, and it is about something I've been obsessed with my entire life, pretty much. It's about tornadoes, and the name of the video is Tornadoes 101. So that's exactly what it is teaching you about tornadoes. Which, even though I've been obsessed with them, I learned a bunch from this video. It is so fascinating. Now, in the Northwest where we live, there aren't a lot, but there are getting to be more. And, of course, there are tons throughout the United States, especially in the Midwest. Although, one of the things I learned from this video is that they are more prominent per square foot in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. But there are more, just if you count them all, in the United States, we count 1,000 tornadoes per year. It is so crazy. Now, the details of this is what I was most fascinated by. How they form. First off, there are two different types of tornadoes. There are those baby tornadoes and kind of like those ones if you're driving through, I don't know, Eastern Washington and there's a dry field and then you see that little whirligig going. So that turns out is a completely, which isn't too surprising, I suppose, different kind of tornado type thing. These can also be water spouts. And the way those form, they explain and they have some really great animation that talks about high temperatures and low temperatures, how those two things have to be together, high pressure, low pressure. The thing that tripped me out is that those lighter ones, they form as you would imagine, just spirals going upwards. The ones that are the big ones that kill people, those actually start horizontal, and then they have to like write themselves up this spiraling mass of air. It is so fascinating. I love this video, Tornadoes 101.
Wow, that is really interesting. I'm not super fascinated with tornadoes, but maybe I will be after I watch this video. And when I say not fascinated, like I think they're a spectacle for sure, but I've never put much thought past them.
Yes.
I enjoy the mega ones that are also the really dangerous, like the still images that people have been capturing.
Oh, yes.
Are always amazing. I'm mesmerized by those. And tornado chasers fascinate me because it's so dangerous and wild and they're so into it. They're like next, they're level three into tornadoes.
Oh, I know.
Where they're like actually trying to chase them, find them, and
I cannot
them.
Imagine
oh my gosh.
Doing that.
Yeah.
No, my relationship with tornadoes.
A little safer, just, yeah. But still.
Farther away.
Yeah.
My relationship with tornadoes started when I was little because I lived in Michigan. And so
I saw
a tornado.
Okay, that's
in
cool.
In real life.
Because I was.
And it was about a mile away. And they are so creepy. Like, I cannot erase that memory. It was just like this snaking around. And it is totally uncontrollable. And you don't know where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. Is it going to come right at you? Is it going to go away from you? And so I had tornado nightmares from then all the way into my 30s. And I actually, not that long ago, like a month or so ago, I had another tornado dream.
Whoa.
And yeah. And it's
usually.
Did
that kind of spark that for the cool
sheet?
It did.
Yeah. It totally did.
A nightmare helped you with a cool sheet.
Yeah. No, it's usually, they usually come when I'm stressed out.
Interesting.
And oh my gosh. So yeah, I actually at one point when I was thinking about getting a tattoo, I thought about getting a tornado tattoo. But yeah, there was a bunch of stuff I didn't know about them. So this is, and it's a pretty short video. I don't remember right now, but it's not long.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot.
Well, I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
Of course, the most famous tornado is the Wizard of Oz one.
Yes.
So that's the one that everybody sticks
with,
and probably why a lot of people have a fear, and sometimes a healthy fear, of tornadoes. I remember when I lived in Florida, and it's because it was weird, and in my early 20s, where I was so looking forward to hurricanes.
Oh, right.
You know, and I was like really lame, or not lame, just like it was so weird that
you romanticize it.
I wanted to do it when it could be awful. But and then finally I thought one was happening, and I remember just seeing all the chairs in the pool area just start hovering and swirling and slamming against the fence, and then the trees that were in a place called In the Pines. So we have pine trees actually in Florida, and they just started touching the ground. They were just like, they were rubber bands, and they were just like,
whoa,
boing, 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 like back and forth, and some I'm sure broke. And we thought, oh my gosh, it's a hurricane finally, but it's not a dangerous one, so it's cool. Gainesville, where I lived, the hurricanes always hopped over because it's kind of central in Florida. So it would start on the coast and almost always hop over Gainesville, which is probably a good thing, but I was disappointed. But it was actually a tornado that we went through, which was interesting. And so I want to know more about the differences of hurricanes and tornadoes too.
Oh, yeah.
I know one's more, you know, creates in the ocean usually. Hurricanes do.
The hurricane's always in the oceans, exactly.
Like that. So, yep. But they are similar because we thought that it was hurricane season and we thought it was going to be a hurricane, but then they were like, no, that was actually a tornado. And that's rare in Florida because usually they have hurricanes because of the ocean. On both sides, the Gulf and the Oceanside, Atlantic side, you know, they really have a good habitat there.
Hurricanes are such enormous, huge storms that have thunderstorms, and they have these differences in heat and cold and stuff that they can bring in. So hurricanes often have tornadoes associated with them.
Interesting. Okay.
So it could have been like the remnants of a hurricane if it was coming towards Gainesville, and then it had tornado would totally be normal.
Yeah. And so it didn't cause a lot of damage. So it was like my romanticism paid off. It was super fascinating. I just watched everything.
Yeah.
Nothing actually damaged.
Right.
But I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Sure. Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with hurricanes too. I follow them. Like I know where they start in both the Pacific and the Atlantic and just kind of how they start. And I don't know. I kind of like weather. I should have been a meteorologist.
Maybe so.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Trippy. Yeah, the main thing I think that trips me more about tornadoes is hurricanes, you can see them coming. Like, there's the satellite.
Oh,
here
yeah.
It's,
sure.
You know, it's this big, massive thing, and it moves slowly.
Right.
Tornadoes, there it is, and then boom.
Yeah,
your house
and with
the,
everybody
crushed.
Having cameras, they've taken some amazing footage of tornadoes.
Oh, it's incredible.
Just busting through a house and
damaging
everything, and it's super scary, and it's happening. You know, they're filming it live, so they're reacting, and kids are screaming, and they're like underneath their tornado bunker, but the camera's still rolling, and it's just scary, but also just so interesting of this phenomenon of nature. You know?
I know. No, it is amazing. Oh, and the pressure differences are huge. So I was obsessed. When I was little, I memorized I had read you're supposed to close the windows on one side of the house and open them on the other.
Sure.
So if a tornado hits, the air can rush out that other side and your house won't explode. And so I was like already like thinking about which windows I would open and all this stuff.
You had it down. You had the tornado plan in action.
And honestly, you just need to go to the basement. I mean,
you not worry about the window.
Because those things are snaking around. You don't know what direction they're coming from.
Yeah, right?
So,
oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Well, cool. Gosh, we could have a whole show just on tornadoes, it sounds like. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. My first cool sheet is very different. It's silly. It's a podcast. It's the Ron Burgundy podcast. And I've listened to this off and on for a while now. It's been going for a bit. They're in season two, or maybe the season two just finished. But I wasn't quite sure if I wanted this to be a cool sheet or not. But it is. And I'll tell you why. Usually I listen to very sciencey or deeply emotional podcasts or very moving story podcasts. Those are my favorite. Those are my go-to. Usually nonfiction, just like books I read. And just like fiction books, this is a good escape. It's just silly. It's nonsense. If you know the Ron Burgundy character from Anchorman, and if you like him, then you will probably enjoy this podcast, because it's Will Ferrell in Ron Burgundy character doing a podcast. It's super ridiculous, very just silly. It goes off the rails very quickly all the time. Of course, it's that Ron Burgundy character, which is kind of sexist and inappropriate, and that, but that's also what makes him funny. You can laugh at these absurdities and even these very un-PC things, and it's okay, I think, to laugh at these. He has a co-host, Caroline, who he's very degrading to, and she's always trying to get him back on track, and he always just like goes, you know, off the rails. Like I said, they did one on wine and pairing. She's like, we're supposed to be pairing food with wine. And he's like, nah, I just bought a bag of wine at the grocery store and I'm drinking while we do this podcast. And isn't it great? And he's just very Ron Burgundy. But he has real guests as well. So he sometimes just talks about subjects, but he had top 10 women with RuPaul. So kind of silly. Poetry with Peter Dinklage. He talked politics with Kamala Harris and meditation with Deepak Chopra. So he does talk about actually serious things with serious guests, but it's very Ron Burgundy and ridiculous. And they're kind of in on the joke, but there's little nuggets every once in a while, but mostly it's just ridiculous fun, the Ron Burgundy podcast.
Oh, I love it, because sometimes I just need to lighten things up, and that sounds like a way to do it.
Yeah, it's a good idea when you just need to escape from all the seriousness and madness all of the time.
Right.
And it's fun when you're just doing chores around the house. And you know, one thing about Radiolab and some of my favorite podcasts are so serious, you can't do other things. You have to be focused and listening.
If you're going to get
you want to listen to it a couple times or,
exactly.
or just not worry about it. But if you just want frivolous silliness,
yeah.
this is a good podcast for you.
Well,
but I think you have
combo.
To listen to Anchor or watch Anchorman first, though.
And know the character.
It wouldn't really make sense. You would just be like, whoa, this is it would be like almost annoying,
super
ridiculous.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
And,
versus
yeah.
just like, oh, that's just Ron.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. You would know it wasn't real. And Will Ferrell is just having fun with that character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there could be an argument made, like from some feminist point of view, like, oh, the degrading of women, that just perpetuates it and it shouldn't be done.
Sure.
But at the same time, the way he does it, I mean, the way Ron Burgundy is, it's so ridiculous that it actually makes men look worse and the women look better.
That's how I usually look at it. Maybe I'm just wishfully thinking that so I can laugh at inappropriate stuff sometimes.
Well,
but I do. It's like it does point out that people are like this. And they're ridiculous.
Yes.
And they don't know it, because he acts like he doesn't know it. He's not self-aware, and he's just living his life true to Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it always kind of like, oh, yeah, no, I know someone that kind of does that. Maybe not to that extreme.
Well,
it's turned up to 11, right?
And then I wonder if people who are like that watch Anchorman, because it is funny.
I think it's hilarious. Like, Ron's my hero.
Yeah. And then maybe they don't realize, hey, I'm like that too. Or they're like, yeah, I'm like that too. And
yeah, well,
you know
it's
what I mean?
Always like they used to say the Colbert Report, you know, that, oh, the conservatives would be like, oh, the joke is he actually does believe that, because he would do very mocky things and kind of act like the America, you know, and do these things. And liberals always thought, oh, it's funny, he's pointing out this ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And conservatives would actually watch it and go, oh, yeah, he's a caricature, but he actually does believe, like they would twist it into their own narrative and
interesting and
think that the joke's actually on the liberals,
you know,
and it's not on us. The inner meaning is this. And
right.
Yeah. So that's fascinating. I wonder if they would do the same thing to Burgundy.
Yeah.
You know, just think, oh yeah, he's acting silly, but it's actually, you know, that is true. And, you know, just, yeah.
Well, anyway,
definitely
I want to
listen character
to it.
Study.
For sure. Or just not.
Yeah.
Just listen.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, both.
Oh, yeah. All right, cool. My next cool sheet. This is a great resource for home hacks, and it is called Hunker.com. This website has helped me so much. They have a section called Home Hacks and Answers that I've used the most. It has home repair stuff and a lot of DIY stuff. But I have since perused through the entire website and there's tons of stuff there. So one way is if you do go to the DIY link, go down that rabbit hole and gives you tons of ideas. So depending on the time of year, they do have things that are more geared towards certain holidays, ways to do things inexpensively and creatively, but also they just have standard things. One of the standard IKEA beds that's been around forever for kids, they have a hack of how to personalize it and how to make it adaptable as the kids grow and change. So that would be something where you can get that bed anywhere. I mean, I think IKEA's always had it, and so you can easily get it, but then you can do these ideas that they have. Also showing how to get stuff from garage sales and adapt it, make it better. But like I said, I used a lot of it for home improvement. For example, I've been this past weekend removing moss off my roof, and they probably have 7 different articles about it, which actually is helpful. It's not confusing because all of them are doable by yourself, but they have ones that are more environmentally friendly, ones that you can do faster or slower, depending on what you're trying to do. Some are more expensive, some are less expensive, how to prevent it, things like that. So they really delve deep and lots of ideas for that. They also have a section on safety that I looked into and I went, oh my God, I've never thought about where to buy a fire extinguisher, which kind to get. And they have several articles just about fire extinguishers. So that got me thinking, which is great. Tons of other things, decor, furniture, plants, etc. Hunker.com.
Whoa, this sounds really neat. The IKEA hack one especially got my attention. That's a whole world on the internet.
Oh, gosh.
There's so many IKEA websites and forums dedicated just to that.
I bet.
But I love that this website is much more broad in all kinds of different things. So that sounds very cool.
Yeah, and because I like it that, yes, you can go to IKEA and buy that, but also here's something you can do with something you found at a thrift store. So it's not like you have to buy stuff. This website's huge. They go into all sorts of stuff. You can get super fancy. Like they do go in that realm. And they also, I noticed they had an article about KCRW in Santa Monica Community Station down there has a new building. And so they have an article like, check out their new building. Huh. So there's also stuff for, repairing and building and stuff like that. And they thought that was relevant, which I thought was really awesome.
That's very cool. Kind of a real world example of a radio station that did that. That's neat. Cool. All right. My next cool sheet is an article, and this is called The 25 Most Important Characters of the Past 25 Years. So if you've heard the show before, you know how I like lists. Sometimes they're kind of silly, like this one, or sometimes they're very deep and meaningful. But I guess I was in a I need a break kind of mood lately when I formed this cool sheet series. So the stipulation is it had to be in the last 25 years. So that was kind of interesting to me. And then these 25 characters. And so there's lots of examples that I don't agree with, but each one breaks down why they think it's important. So number 24 was the Babadook from the movie The Babadook. And I just didn't like that movie as much as most other people. But I read it and I thought that was interesting. Also, Edward Cullen from the Twilight Saga is number 11. So that was interesting because I've never seen Twilight. I kind of poo-pooed it when it first came out. So it was fun to read that. Number 6, believe it or not, number 6 is Jar Jar Binks. So they said not the most beloved, but the most important in the last 25 years. And so then they talk about things about him, which is very interesting. There's some that I didn't know anything about, like Milkshake Duck. So apparently this was a tweet by somebody, Pixelated Boat, in 2016, and it was just one simple tweet. The whole internet loves Milkshake Duck, a lovely duck that drinks milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you, the duck is a racist. And then how that, so it's kind of like an overview of society and how we are these days. It was very in a succinct tweet, which was interesting. Ones that I agreed with: Sarah Koenig from The Serial, The Rock, Omar Little from The Wire, Pikachu was number 3, Trump from The Apprentice was number 2, go read about that one, and Carmela Soprano was number 1.
Whoa.
Yeah. But they distinguished the character of Trump in this reality show, which is very interesting to me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Again, maybe not most beloved by all.
Yes.
But very interesting article.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to look through that, see more. So do they, so they do go through and explain like their take on
like
each
cultural
one.
Relevance of these characters. And some of them are very serious. And some of them, even like Jar Jar, goes into like racial stereotypes and how even in this, we've thought we've progressed, but it kind of, we went backwards a little bit. And it was supposed to be this just goofy slapstick character, but they took the wrong turn.
Oh my gosh,
but
I can't,
how that,
believe it,
kind of gave us a reality check of, oh, we have work to do. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And hopefully changing for the better in the future. So very fascinating stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you can blame George Lucas for Jar Jar, but think of how many people worked on that film before it was released.
Yeah.
And nobody said anything, you know, just like,
and when you talk to kids that, like, when we grew up with Star Wars, was the original series, you know, we love it. It's always kind of our favorite for nostalgic reasons and everything else. But the kids that actually grew up with the prequels, a lot of those kids, when they were really young, and even still to this day, really like Jar Jar. It's fascinating to me because it was such a, like, just nails on the chalkboard for everyone of our age that grew up with the original trilogy. But a lot of them didn't realize those stereotypes and the awfulness and just how ridiculous he was. Mm-hmm. He was goofy and slapsticky, and he made them laugh because he farted and did silly stuff. And for a kid that was four, they thought that was hilarious. And they still have a soft spot for him, which I always think is super interesting.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. All right. Cool. Okay. My next cool sheet. This has to do with health. And I can't believe we haven't talked about this. I can't believe you haven't talked about this. This is fascia and fascia rollers. Okay, so first off, I was using a fascia roller before I even knew what fascia was. So let me talk about that first. So fascia, this is a sheet of tissue. It's made up of densely packed protein fibers, and it weaves throughout the entire body, and it binds and supports muscles, bones, and organs. So you can imagine how important it must be. Bodywork specialists have been passionate about fascia for decades, but it has really only pretty recently, 2007 was the first conference or meeting, like research conference at Harvard about fascia. So in terms of it making it more into, I don't know, legitimized or something, it's actually newer, which is amazing. So this is very interesting. You have six times as many sensory neurons loaded in your fascia as in any other tissue of your body except for your skin. So it is no wonder that whenever you have pain there, it's even worse. So if it's fascia related. So this fascia, it helps your different muscle systems communicate with one another. And so you can have different problems arise. And so one would just be you wake up in the morning and you're feeling cramped and stiff and or any other long period, like sitting on a long plane ride or something. They give some tips for that. And one of them is pretty simple. You just need to be slower when you get up, just stretching slowly before you even get out of bed, and things you can do before you even put weight on your feet. And then also there's the other thing when you're doing too much movement, repetitive motion. And that's when your fascia rollers come into play. And I'll also have a link to a tutorial on that. So fascia and fascia rollers.
Yeah, that is cool. You know, I didn't really know what fascia was specifically until I went to physical rehab for some different things that I had that I actually needed real work, which was a whole thing, like having to admit that I needed to actually go somewhere. Because I'm very, just by nature, like, I don't like to go to the doctor.
Push on through.
I don't even take aspirin unless it's bad, you know. And it was just, but at some point, when you get older especially, you're like, look, I just need to get this fixed.
Yeah.
And that was, it is in physical therapy. It's a pretty go-to maneuver to start working that fascia around. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can tell there's a lot of sensory around it because when they take that scrape and move your fascia around.
Oh my gosh.
You feel that? Yes, you do. And it's one of those weird things where as it's happening, it's like, oh my gosh, this is making it way worse. This is going to be awful. How's this going to heal me? Yeah. But your body's so amazing that when you move it around and work it, and it does hurt and it leaves marks and it looks horrendous, yeah, feels horrendous, but then all of a sudden the next day you feel great.
What do you know?
Or I
know.
At least a lot better.
Yeah.
And it maybe takes a few sessions, but yeah, super fascinating. So yeah, I just didn't, you know, even when I foam rolled and did things like that, like I didn't know any of that was kind of correlated with each other. So yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah, fascia was super fascinating and I only knew about it just a little while ago. So
yeah.
Very, very cool.
And I love this idea how it helps the different muscles communicate. Like it's this little communicator and which once you learn more about it, it makes sense, but it's, I don't know. You just don't hear the word very often, or I didn't.
No. No.
Maybe kids growing up hear it more, but I don't think so.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, my next cool sheet. What is it? Oh, gosh. This is a video, a short little video called Why Cartoon Characters Wear Gloves. This is so interesting. So the person that did this video was watching one of their favorite animated movies called An Extremely Goofy Movie. It's a follow-up to the Goofy Movie. And the stoner character, Bobby Zemurski, he says to Goofy, "Do you ever wonder why we're always, like, wearing gloves?" And he looks at his hands and he's wearing white gloves. And then it kind of was at that moment where she was like, yeah, they all, that's a good question, because Mickey Mouse, Goofy, Pinocchio, Jimmy Cricket, Bugs Bunny, they all wear white gloves. I never really noticed it before. So then she did this deep dive. She talked to an animator historian about this and says, do people often ask you this? Like, why do they? And he's like, no, people don't ask me that very often. But when they do, this is what I tell them. There's many reasons. So first of all, it's way faster to animate, and especially when in the older days, but even with computers, but when they had to hand draw, fingers with knuckles and joints and things like that are very hard to draw. So they just drew a glove and then boom, they were done. They also talk about different kinds of animation and how they made it easier. Then they also said that it's contrast. So in the black and white days, when a character had black hands and a black body and they moved their hands across their body, their hands basically just disappeared because it was just black and white. So they put gloves on, so it was more distinctive. It also gave animal characters more human-like behavior. So Mickey Mouse doesn't have mouse hands. He has human hands, but with gloves. But this is also weird. Bird characters, Daffy Duck, no birds have gloves. In fact, Daffy one time asks Bugs, "Why do you have gloves?" And he's like, "I don't know. They're just who I am. Why do you wear that thing around your neck?" And then Daffy looks and doesn't know. And so that's also interesting. Super interesting video, Why Cartoon Characters Wear Gloves.
That is such a trip. Because as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah. Like my mind went through all the characters I know. And it's like, yep. Weird.
So the more interesting things that I didn't get into because I ran out of time, and the very important things. Well, first of all, Pinocchio is very interesting because when he's a puppet, he has gloves. As soon as he turns into a real boy, they disappear. Like literally in the movie, they disappear off of him when he turns into a real boy. So human characters don't wear gloves that often.
Yeah.
Except for in black and white days. But animal characters, to make them seem more human, do wear white gloves. But it also, the worst part of the history is that a lot of these characters are based off of vaudeville characters that have blackface and always wore white gloves. So a lot of the times they mimic those. So there is also some very racial reasoning behind it that she dives into that's very important to acknowledge. But when you see these characters now without gloves, it's very disturbing because they do it once in a while and it just looks wrong.
Something wrong.
Yeah, interesting.
Huh, cool. Okay, my next cool sheet. I am going to be talking about a resource specifically for teas, and that is May Leaf. This is by Don May, is his name, and this is such an amazing website. This guy has just created this awesome empire of teas and teaching about teas and just reveling in them, and he's so awesome. I want to meet him. So the website itself, it is packed of information. It's packed with inspiration. It's beautiful. It's glorious to look at. every single picture of a tea they take from top down so you see the color of it. And then they have put like the main ingredient all around it. It's just beautiful. I love that alone, actually. But it's also really fun. Every time I visit this website, you go in and there's this query that asks you, what are two aromas that you're in the mood for today? And they give choices, I don't know, six or seven choices or something. And so, for example, the last time I went in, I chose autumn leaves and cedarwood was one of them. And another one was cut grass and summer rain. Now, it's not always about seasons. It just so happened that those are the two that I chose. And then it goes, okay. And then it says, here are five teas that you might like. And it says what they are and it describes them. Of course, you can get them from them. But it's just really fun. So the blog itself has tons of stuff about teas and herbs for health and ceremonies. And there's stuff about teaware. They have a great YouTube channel. Don May is super personable and he does test live and stuff, has great co-hosts with them. And every year they go to China. And so really recently they have posted some of their trip to this awesome place, the Tongmu Guan in Fujian in China. It is the birthplace of black tea. So that's lovely. Here's the last little snippet. I just like 20 minutes found out that their brick and mortar is based in Camden, mayleaf.com.
Whoa, darn. I wish I knew about that.
Me too.
A few months ago.
Me too.
But that's okay because I definitely want to go back to Camden Market.
Yes, I couldn't believe it. I just saw that and I was like, what?
Yeah, very cool. Well, another reason to go back.
Yeah.
We should go together sometime.
I would love that. It'd be so much fun.
Love that trip. We would have so much fun.
Yes.
It's everything that we love for sure. Oh my gosh. Okay, cool. There's another reason.
Yay.
How many tea?
It's been happening lately. I know.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's funny because when Sarah worked with me, who's been on Cool Sheets before, she always, well, we dubbed each other. She was the first one to tell me the term tea whore, which is just hilarious because it's kind of making fun of how into tea we are. We all have each little cupboards and shelves, and I have like 12 teas, you know. Everybody else has maybe one, and I have 12 different teas. Uh-huh. And in my house it's like 20 different teas. Uh-huh. I'm definitely in the tea whore category.
Yeah,
but I rarely talk about it on Cool Sheets.
I know,
it's interesting. But you also have a passion for tea.
I do.
I won't call you a tea whore.
I think you and Sarah are above me.
But you've definitely done more, and I always appreciate it. And I always like, oh, I should talk about tea more often, and then I don't. Just hilarious. But anyway,
I'm always glad when you
share it, because these are things that even me as a tea fanatic don't know a lot about. So you can always learn more about these things.
Oh, yeah. It is amazing. The variety of teas is staggering. It's just everything that's out there.
Yeah.
And then within each category, there's all these different ones.
Yeah.
And then once you start mixing things together, all bets are off. Like,
right,
you just have infinite different possibilities.
Yeah, which makes it so cool. That's what's so neat about teas. And, you know, you can vary coffee to a degree. There's different roasts and regions and things like that.
Yeah.
And I love coffee too, for sure. But yeah, teas to me just are so fascinating and delicious. And what's really strange, this is something I've never talked about on the show, is I'm not a big iced tea, like normal, just regular iced tea that you get everywhere in the United States. I'm not such a big, I don't like dislike it, but I would never get iced tea almost hardly ever. I love hot tea, even in the summer. And I just love brewing it. I love that process, of course, and everything that goes with it, the aromas and the taste and the health and
Yes.
Very cool.
I do like iced tea, but only if I make it or if someone's making. I don't like the kind that you get at restaurants. That is just.
And even, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, we don't really have sweet tea like the South. It's way different.
Oh, I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
So disgusting.
And the people in the South are like, they love.
Yes.
No, they don't like it. They love it.
Yes.
And I remember when I lived in Florida, like how crazy they would get about sweet tea. And you just order tea. But if you don't know that and you go to the South and you order tea, you are in for a surprise.
No kidding.
Because we don't have sugar, loads of sugar in our tea like that. And it's always funny, my friends who love iced tea and mm-hmm. order it all the time, their first experience in the South is always humorous. If you've had someone and you know, ask them about it. If it's ever happened, they'll have a great story for sure, because it's memorable.
That's got to have, it must have the same amount of sugar as like Coke or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or even more. It's just...
Yeah, and I took it maybe, and yeah, I was never a big iced tea drinker, but yeah, I took a sip and I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not even tea.
No.
It's just a sugary thing.
No. No, I'll love like...
But they love it. Oh my gosh, it's just like you can't have a meal without it.
It's a thing. They go crazy.
Yeah. Which I like that they're so passionate about it. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Maybe not super healthy, but hey, whatever.
Right. Here's some hummingbird food.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. My next cool sheet is, it's an event which sometimes we kind of put at the end on purpose, but the event is great, and it's not like an annual event, and it is kind of a regional event, but it's more the idea that really captured my reason to put this on a cool sheet. I've never heard of it before. I want to do it. A lot of these ideas that I see while I'm looking for a cool sheet, I want to replicate in Salem, and I think we could do this. It would be super fun. But this is called Canoe Concerts. So they usually have these people going on kind of an outdoor exhibition. So they're going on a fishing trip. Some of them for the first time, they've never been fishing, and they're hiking and they're doing all of these things, and then they're going to camp. And it's this whole planned out thing that they have. But what I've gathered from the video is that they don't really tell them what's going to happen at night. So as the sun's setting, all of a sudden this canoe comes towards them while they're kind of on the shore. And one person has either a piano or a guitar, and the other person's rowing the canoe, and then they just hover and stop and sing them these wonderful songs. And it's just magical. It's a very high-produced video. It's a French company, I believe. It's Beside.media. Check our website to see these videos. There's only actually like maybe five or so different videos that they did of the filming this canoe series. And again, I didn't really get into the details. I just love the idea of the event. It's so magical and beautiful. And the good thing is, because they do other cool things, but it's all in French and I can't understand it. But of course, when music, it's just beautiful if you don't understand French. But it's actually also a lot of songs in English, which a lot of music does. It's so fascinating. I definitely want to replicate something somehow in the Willamette River here in Salem. But anyway, check out Canoe Concert.
Oh, yes. Now, I don't know how the heck you'd get a piano on there. I guess it depends on the size of the keyboard. Oh, gotcha.
Keyboard. And
okay.
She actually, it seemed like maybe it was just talking into the microphones that they use for filming, but it seemed amplified too. I didn't see speakers, but you could do that with waterproof, Bluetooth speakers now.
Yes, for sure.
And she was very hypnotic. This is also a really cool way to discover some new artists that I've never heard of. Because these are some of them I think are famous in their region. Very, very cool. And just so fun and magical. And I knew you would love it, being a musician.
Yes.
And you are always kayaking and doing fun things on the water. I knew you would really dig this too.
Yeah.
But who wouldn't? It's just a magical time for...
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, it's never occurred to me. I mean, my guitar's too big, I think, but I could bring a ukulele on my kayak with me.
Yeah, and a kayak's a little bit different than a canoe. You know, in a canoe, it's a bigger,
a little
open
bit more
area.
Space, right?
Yeah, and you have someone that would actually do the steering, and because even when you're hovering, there's stuff to do, right?
Yes.
And you can't play an instrument and still hover.
Yeah,
near
yeah,
the people,
yeah.
You would just drift off or whatever.
For sure.
So that's the open style of the canoe.
Yeah.
Makes that easier to do and more room and space and places to hide, you know, the speakers and
right.
fun things like that. I just happened to cross it somehow and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, instant cool sheet. I didn't even get into it was just that idea.
Yes.
And watching it is so beautiful.
Oh, I want to watch that.
I can't imagine the people, if they truly didn't know that this was happening, like how the experience that that left them with, they probably remember for the rest of their lives.
Definitely.
You know, just, oh, so cool. So, so cool.
Oh,
I love stuff like that.
Love it. Love it. Okay. I'm going to do my last cool sheet so that I can then go watch that video. And lo and behold, my last cool sheet is a video. This is so awesome and hilarious. It is the flamingo mating dance. This is a 1 minute video, and it's just so funny and charming, and it's really great. Sort of as a backdrop, or I guess background information, is about flamingos, which I didn't know any of this, but then I got curious after watching this video and learned a little bit more. This essentially, flamingos, they stay in a flock, which they call a colony, and there are sometimes really large colonies, and at some point when they're 5 or 6 years old, they start mating, and so they do mate within their own colony, and the rituals that they do. Initiated by the males, not so surprising, but the courtship rituals they use are marching and head turning and also some preening. But it's this marching and head turning, and you go, okay, that sounds boring, or it sounds like, I don't know, you know, your marching band or whatever doing a parade. And but you watch these flamingos doing this and you are just cracking up. It's just so ridiculous. And I'm also going to add some other interesting things I learned when I was looking into flamingos. They don't mate annually, which is what I've always heard birds do. They have a certain time of year. They mate when it rains. And so rainy season comes and it's raining. And so there's a bigger food supply. And so then they're like, all right, time to have babies because now there's going to be food to feed them. So it totally makes sense once you realize that. So drought season, not a lot of flamingos are born, only when it's raining a lot. Anyway, just watch this video. That's all I'm saying is marching and head turning, and it's super fun and adorable. The flamingo mating dance.
Boy, I was really having a good time while you were sharing that in my head. Just animal sex in general is very...
No, they do not show them having sex.
Well... Yes, but where my brain went, of course, is to animal sex and how different it is and funny to us. But then when I started thinking about our rituals and sex, human sex is also very silly, especially if you were looking from the outside as an alien or a different source. It's right. Like, wow, no, we're not weird. You guys are weird.
Definitely.
Super funny.
Yep,
I just
probably...
was having this little dance of imagery in my head. It was so funny. I mean, actually, it reminded me, yesterday we had TEDx Salem rehearsals and Kaylee Swift, who's going to be a speaker. Finally, a TEDx Salem is here, who's our favorite crow biologist.
Yes,
and
former cool
spoiler, sheet. Yes, and spoiler alert, she just might be talking about necrophilia crow three ways.
Yes, I've heard
so
her talk about
that.
Out
at
oh
TEDx
my God.
Salem. A little shameless plug there.
Yes,
but it's worth it. Her talk's going to be amazing.
Oh my gosh,
as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, thank you for the assist on that.
Oh,
for
my pleasure.
Her. Oh my gosh, she's going to be. Oh, it was so great. Anyway, but yeah, so I was just dancing all this crazy stuff in my head, just the one mention of that.
Yes.
And now I can't wait to see the video in 1 minute. Like, who doesn't have a minute to watch
exactly.
something so much that's so much fun?
Exactly. Yes, I'm sure in some parallel universe there are animals wearing their gloves watching videos of us and our mating rituals.
Oh, yeah.
Cracking
making
up.
Fun. Because if you think about it, it's pretty funny. Okay, I better get going here on our longer show, and we're still almost out of time here. My last cool sheet is a website, and it is called Good and Kind. It's goodandkind.org. How this works, you sign up, pick your acts, carry out your acts, tick when completed, see your impact, and share your success, and claim a reward. So you don't have to actually sign up, though. It has, I think it's 100 or over 100 different acts of kindness. So if you want, you can just look at it and start doing some, which I think is fabulous. But I actually did sign up, and it's relatively new or just not heard of enough. I was one of 403 at the time of this podcast that signed up. The cool thing about signing up is you do kind of, it's an easier way to keep track of what you're doing. There's a leaderboard, it kind of gamifies it. So that can motivate people, which I think is useful for sure. So that can definitely help. You earn, your reward is you earn badges, essentially. So they have categories. So if you want to do environmental stuff or animal stuff or whatever, business stuff even, it'll categorize that for you. Or you can just look at them. And when you look at them, it tells you what to do and then how many smiley faces, so how much kindness that will give you and happiness that will give you, how much the cost benefits to society, so how much it either costs or if it's free, that it's priceless, the effects of it could be priceless, the time that it takes to complete, so you kind of know what you're getting into, and then how many people have done it, which is fun to see too. So some of the sample acts are give kind words to someone who needs them. Some of these are obvious, but good refreshers. Donate books to your library, buy from an independent shop, go meatless on Mondays. Some of them are other very different. Save a spider, so don't just squash it. Leave flowers at a doorstep. Build a hedgehog hole in your garden wall or fence. So some of them are things I haven't thought about that are fantastic. The website, Good and Kind.
Oh, I love that. And that is a good ender. That's something. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we can go do something.
Super positive. Kind. I want to go just read it first and then, and very, maybe look into signing up too.
Yeah. It's super easy and free. And yeah, maybe they track your data or whatever because you sign up through Facebook. But you know what? Yeah. I was fine with it. It's very visual, so there's like pictures everywhere. So it has a little picture of a hedgehog.
Yes.
And how you can, and then it gets into it. Like, here's what you need to do, and here's how to do it for all each one of these acts of kindness.
Very cool.
Which is really neat, and yeah, it's just it's lovely.
I love it.
I love going to these little acts of good things in this crazy world.
More positivity, please, and thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.